Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good day.
Good afternoon.
Good day. No
matter where you are on the planet Earth,
yeah.
Welcome to the Medicine Collection on your time slot today. We're on Saturdays now at 12 June Central. And have we got an interesting program for you set up today. We have a wonderful guest with us today. Her name is Denise Stoner. Denise is quite a fascinating lady, and I could sit here and tell you lots of wonderful things about her, but I really feel the best way to introduce Denise is to have you hear it directly from her. So without spending any more time talking about air, let's talk about Denise. Welcome, Denise. Happy to have you with us.
Hi, Bea. How are you? I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm really excited about having you on today, Denise. It's been quite a long time since we've shared some airspace together.
Oh, yes, it has, and I'm just glad to be back.
Cool beans. Yeah, it's been quite a while. I think we had you on the edge and probably the metaphysical edge as well over the past several years. And it's always been an interesting time to share with you. You have so many attributes that I love to explore. But today we're going to be focusing in on one, although I'm sure we're going to touch on many. But there's a new book that you've co-authored. Can you give us a little taste of the book, maybe, just a tiny bit?
Yes, sure can. I have, over the past year and a half, maybe closer to 2 years, worked with Kathleen Martin, who is the niece of Betty and Barney Hill, the very first couple to come out on the news media, and it was actually by accident, and tell their story about their abduction. And working with her has just been a joy. She asked if I would co-author a book with her, and it has been a lot of research and very constant. She lives now in Florida, about an hour and a half from where I am, here in Orlando, and we've done a lot of driving back and forth. And the book is called The Alien Abduction Files. And the reason we named it that was because we both worked as investigators with two cases that could be proven, as far as we were concerned, through doctors, through psychological investigation. They had themselves checked out, and they were lifetime cases from childhood.
Right.
And the book focuses on those two people. One of the individuals actually came out, and that person's name has been given, and the whole family has signed waivers disclosing, yes, this is what happened. This has been ongoing. The other person, due to the fact that they are extremely well known, could not disclose the name, but it is also very factual. And then there are a few individuals who sent in manuscripts to us, and we also investigated them, have a few stories included, plus our research from commonalities among non-abductees. It's a questionnaire that we put out and had all the percentages and answers returned. And so that's included in the book. It's quite involved.
That's wonderful. Yeah, yeah. Alien abductions, a very interesting topic, but also kind of frightening. And I know that you are a regression hypnotist, correct? So you work with that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Kathleen and I just completed a brand new course that should help with post-traumatic syndrome cases, not just for alien abductees, but for police officers, people coming back from Afghanistan, so forth and so on. And it's called a regressive forensic hypnosis.
Wow. Right.
And
wonderful.
Yeah, it was given by the American Hypnosis Guild. Fascinating course and very, very in depth. It's going to help us
right.
with these abductees.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet.
We found that
are there
you can
any...
actually. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Finish up.
You can actually break up. It's very fascinating. You can actually break a person into their separate parts without harming them and have the individual separate enough that they could tell us safely, this is where my fear is. It's in this box. It's in this part of me, and this part of me is willing to talk about it.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, there's no fear for someone to go ahead and look into their subconscious, I guess. Is that where you direct your questions?
Yes, we need to find that part of them first. And it takes a little while, and we still have to be very careful about how we go about this. But it's a lot better for the individual once we decide to do it.
Right. How does somebody know, or how could somebody tell if they've had an abduction experience? Is there any way to tell?
Yes, there are a couple of really, really good markers. One of the main ones, and one of the very first ones, is to have that individual or a neighbor or a family member tell them that they had seen some sort of craft or lights in and around that individual, over their car, over their home, outside their window. That's one of the first things. There should be some sort of sighting of a craft or lights that can't be identified. That's the first thing.
Right.
The second thing, of course, is time that can't be accounted for. Where were they? They knew they were in one spot at a certain time, and all of a sudden, anywhere from 10 minutes to 3 hours, it's gone. And they may end up back home. They may end up on a road they can't identify. All kinds of things like that happen. They may even be wearing clothes that they didn't have on when they left.
Wow.
In the case of children, they could be wearing another pair of pajamas if they went to bed and they find themselves in pajamas they can't identify.
Holy cow.
There are a lot of strange things. Strange marks on their body. And there are certain markers that I won't identify there because it's just like any crime scene. If I give all that away, there are a lot of folks out there, and I don't want to be mean about it, but they'd say, oh, I have those. So there are markers that we look for on the body, but anyone that wakes up and finds a strange mark on their skin needs to take a picture of it for us right away.
Right.
I will say that there are bruises that you can look for on the upper arms, on the thighs, on the calves, that are long, long, thin finger marks, and they're usually three of them, and they're thin.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 Kind of like the shape of perhaps an alien's hand. Would that kind of be
yes.
it?
Yes, that would be
yeah.
it. Yes. Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
And they leave a bruise,
right.
as if they have escorted you, but very strongly, where they want
right.
you to go. Uh-huh.
Right. Right. Well, then again, the weight of our body, too, I imagine, you know, might play into that a little bit. If you're dead
yeah,
weight,
it,
right? And, yeah.
It could be, or if you are resisting, we're
struggling,
not exactly
yeah.
sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those, if you know that and it's absolutely obvious, get us a picture.
Right. Right. Pretty interesting. You know, this brings up a question because so many of us are attuned to light, but yet so many folks who have had abduction experiences also experience light. Do you think this is something like created so that people wouldn't be afraid of what happens when they follow the light?
Oh, definitely. And yes, B, speaking of some of what you do, we are now having to take a look at some things that we have to begin to identify, and that's orbs.
Mm-hmm.
People are finding that they'll wake up or they're just going to bed and they haven't even gone to sleep yet, and they see these orbs in their bedroom.
Right.
Or they see their children actually playing with them, chasing them around their bedroom. They don't know what they are.
Right.
And they're related either to spirit or they have something to do with these abductions. And they have to be identified. We need to discover what the difference is.
That's really an interesting thing to talk about because a few folks that I've interviewed before that have been abducted have mentioned of seeing this bright light, an orb-shaped light. So, and being what we always like to refer to as being light workers or energy workers, you know, we look
yes.
to work with the light. And that's why it just, you know, makes me wonder, I mean, if that is something that is created so that, you know, let's put it this way, religion even states, you know, I am the light.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So,
and some of these orbs, just so that you know, I don't know if some of your guests have said this, we'll see an orb. And it's a lot of the time a bright, bright blue or a gold,
mm-hmm.
and it will pop, that's the only term we can use, into an entity. And the entity is blue or gold, and
right.
it's watching them. It will float closer to them, and
mm-hmm.
they will just have a feeling of great peace.
Mm-hmm.
But when they try to photograph it, they'll run to get a camera or they'll pick up their cell phone and try to snap the picture. It pops back into the orb and then absorbs into itself and disappears or shoots straight up into the air so fast they can't get
yeah.
a picture.
Very interesting. I've taken pictures in sequential pictures. And the first photo is a field loaded with orbs, and 3 seconds later, however long it takes for the camera to reset, there are maybe three orbs in the picture.
Uh-huh.
It's like once they see the flash, they all disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Caught ya.
Yeah, and we don't know. You know, a lot of people say, oh, this is dust or this is that.
Right.
And a lot of times I beg to differ because I was out in Nevada. And
mm-hmm.
literally saw those orbs retreat from my camera. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Watch them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what's that all about? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like they're having a party and you're not invited.
That's right. That is exactly right. And you're standing still. There's no wind. There's nothing. And you get a mass of them, and then you watch them retreat. I watched them retreat into the desert over the Joshua trees, and off they went. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, you're not invited, right?
No, you're not invited. And a lot of times, I think if any of them have to do with the abduction series, we have in there, again, the alien abduction files is going to show in the book, on our research, people that have been affected by these in such a way that once they're abducted, the percentage is very high of people that have become more psychic and have felt like, for a very brief time, they have some ability to heal by hands-on. Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The whole thing amazes me. I mean, it goes deeper than just what we know here on the planet. I mean, I guess there's such a connection between us and the stars, not just the physical stars, but the inhabitants of those beings who inhabit, you know, these distant planets and distant stars. I mean, there's such a connection and so much that we don't know, but yet we're given all these little hints. And orbs, I think, are one of them. And, of course, the light and the actual ships that people see. Now, you've been a UFOlogist, I mean, an investigator for years. Can you give us any of your maybe scariest incidents?
There are a few. There's an episode in the book where during, well, most of the people that have been abducted, let's put it this way, and have come out, happen to be baby boomers.
Uh-huh.
That's a large statistic. Even though they've been affected during their lifetime, they, we think, were used for breeding purposes, but they continue to be taken even now, and we don't know why. Now, one individual in the book actually miscarried, and this was an accident, but instead of the child being taken or the fetus being taken, miscarried on a mountainside and was able to witness what she lost.
Wow.
And then was abducted from the mountainside when she was on her way to picnic at the top of the hill with her family. And that story was frightening for her, because she just thought she was pregnant. And that's a little more than a missing pregnancy that you've heard about. Because she was, and for reasons that you could understand, a drawing of what she saw is not in the book. Maybe in a future book. But what she saw was definitely that of an alien baby. But the story is in the book.
Right.
And when she reached the top of a hill, discovered that her family was standing just stiff and still as stones, as if they were in some sort of sleep state. And she was taken for a brief while and then put back at the picnic table. And I can't tell any more of that story and of what happened, but that story is in the book, and she was very frightened. So how much of this is going on? And what did she see when she was taken? There are some things in that book that are very, very different. The two main stories in the book, we have actually finally hooked on to the fact that these two people who did not know each other during the main abductions in the course of their life, they saw each other on a craft, most likely.
Uh-huh.
They were on the same craft, yeah.
Do you feel that that happens? I mean, like when you feel that closeness to someone, or there's a spark of recognition with a stranger?
I think so.
You think that's someone that you could recognize perhaps from an experience like this? I'm not trying to put, you know, words in anybody's mind, but I mean, is that a possibility? I mean,
I really think so. I've had a couple of things happen, and one is maybe for another show, but anybody that might believe in reincarnation, I think those people mm-hmm. are coming back from some pretty big tragedies too. For instance,
yeah.
the Titanic. But we won't get into that. Yes, I think that if people start talking and they know another abductee, I think now the baby boomers that have been abducted are going to find that maybe they did see each other.
Right.
And
have met, yeah. On ships or underground bases or wherever.
Well, yeah, not just that. And I think in the book there was a big project of some kind. We can't identify it. We don't know what these people were doing, except
mm-hmm.
they were doing something together. And these two individuals were pretty sure saw each other. They could identify clothing that was worn.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them also recognized someone else on the ship and questioned that individual afterwards as, do you own this type of clothing? And this person said, well, yeah. Why are you asking? Well, she couldn't say anything. Oh,
right.
Because I saw you on this huge craft.
Right.
You know,
right.
That doesn't
right.
work. Because that person doesn't realize yet that he has been abducted.
Right. Why do you think that these abductions occur? I mean, are they following us, our DNA? Are they using our DNA for some purpose? I mean, I guess that's a pretty heavy-duty question, but...
It is. It's a huge question, and I think
yeah.
that's a part of it. They are taking our flesh. If they're not breeding us any further, because some people are now declaring that they're older, they're still being taken, they're being taught things, embedding things in our mind, but from some of the soft tissue, plugs are being taken. You can, that's one thing I can tell you. You have a circular plug of skin missing. It heals
I've heard
very
that,
rapidly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I've heard that from folks.
Yeah, and specific areas now that
yeah.
are really different. So
like,
they're using
like
that
fingers
for
or
something.
Toes?
Yes, and from some private areas. Especially females.
Right.
So we're wondering what that's all about. They're using it for something. Is it a continued breeding program? They also have some sort of project going that we can't identify. That's in the book. They're using us in groups for something. Can't figure out what it's all about, but items, objects are being dropped from the crafts in areas that are dense forested sections
mm-hmm.
of the world. None of these objects have been located that we know of.
Right.
But if it is a dense forested area, maybe it wouldn't be found. Maybe it's meant to dissipate. What are in these objects? That's in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And groups of people are being taken to assist in this, whatever it is, project.
Right.
Yeah, and we're also checking out people that come back and find that they are a little bit more developed as far as their ability to damage electrical equipment. And this doesn't last, but they'll come back and experience malfunctions of electrical equipment, lights, digital watches, computers. They blow out light bulbs. This is when you can go outside at night and walk under your street lights, and they'll all go out. walk back the other way, and they all come back on. Get up in the morning and try to turn on your microwave, and you'll blow it out. It doesn't all happen, but it does happen. You can't wear a watch. You can ruin your TV set. We don't know why this is. A lot of people are super sensitive to magnetics, such as MRIs, mm-hmm. elevators that are more modern that run on magnetics.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That brings up another question. I mean, the question of back engineering alien technology, or is it a question of it being given to us?
Oh, you're right. We have a questionnaire out there that we have not completed yet, and it has to do with anybody that believes they've been on a craft. What can they tell us about the operation of the craft? What have they shown and what have they seen? Some of the things that have come back are kind of frightening.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if anyone wants to go on to either KathleenMarden.com or myself, and that's Denise, M as in Mary, Stoner.com, that's my site, and find the questionnaire, or email me at dmstoner1@gmail.com, and then we can help you to tell us what you've seen, because some of it's pretty involved.
Right.
People are
I'm writing them in the chat room so folks can see it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because some people have actually been physically affected by what they have seen if they have gotten close enough to that central core of
right.
a craft. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that have happened. We've also asked if people have received any kind of telepathic messages. And out of that, we had 50 people. 32% have received telepathic messages from these beings. How about witnessing paranormal activity in the home? We have quite a large percentage that have received that type of information. Migraine headaches. Of quite a few after
right.
an abduction.
Right.
And go ahead.
What about placement of implants? I mean, you hear people talk about psychic implants as well as physical implants.
Yes, and we think that has all changed. It used to be that if you had been given an implant of some kind,
yeah.
we could locate it first by using a magnet or using a black light, and you can still use a black light on someone immediately after an abduction if they haven't showered, because they'll have a phosphorescent type glow on their skin or clothing.
Wow.
If they come back and they feel they've been abducted, get that black light out, run it over your body, and if you have areas that glow that don't make sense to you, get a hold of someone right away, an investigator, and say, hey, something's going on here. Used to be, if you had an implant and you took a magnet and you thought you could feel something under your skin, the magnet will pull it up, would connect. If you still have an old one, it would still do that. However, we think that these beings or entities have advanced to the point that whatever they put in now is a part of your skin, and it is so well developed and advanced that we wouldn't be able to find it.
Right. Very, very interesting. Kind of frightening, eh? Well,
yes.
But you know, to me, I ascribe to the school of thought of no fear. And I think that fear is probably our worst enemy when it comes to things like this. If this has been going on for eons, okay, for you know, epochs. I mean, if it's been going on for so long, then why would we be afraid? If these are beings that created us, or
had
a hand in developing us, why is there fear?
There's a terrific amount of fear when an individual is first taken. For some reason, once they're on the craft, that fear lets go, releases, and they become more curious, more calm, more relaxed. We don't know if that's a result of something they do to us. Another thing that we can say is that they seem to be familiar with the entity that takes them over a long period of time. They recognize their entity. They call them their escort, the doctor, the professor.
Right.
There are various names that they've given this individual from childhood, and recognize them. Once they're taken aboard, they say, well, I'm here again, and I'm okay, and the fear is gone. And if they really wanted them and to do some damage, they would have a long time ago. That may be part of the lack of fear. Once the initial part of it is over with, we still question and ask, friend or foe?
Yeah.
Because there are so many types of entities being identified now, we're not sure about one or two of them, what their agenda is.
Right. Could you talk about any of these entities? I mean, Hollywood, you know, has certainly given us a look at them. When you look at all the movies that have come out, the ones that seem to be most prominent are these gray creatures. Are they real?
Yes, and there are different sizes of the grays, a smaller 3 to 4 foot tall, that seem to be emotionless, that seem to be the ones that assist in removing you from your car, your home, a roadside, wherever you are when you're taken. And I believe in the book you will see where one individual calls them the soldiers. Everybody has a name for them because there are groups of them lined up on crafts a lot of the time, just watching.
Right.
So those are the smaller ones, and they're just there to do a job. They do it, and that's it. They're the more frightening ones because no one's sure what they're up to. There are some taller ones that seem to have a little more emotion, or I wouldn't necessarily call it human-like personality about them. And then, of course, you go into the reptilian that seems to be super intelligent, more emotions. They're the ones that actually perform some of the medical procedures on the craft. There are more human-like, if we want to call them hybrids, or the Nordic type. There's been one drawn very recently. We had a forensic artist draw for us. And they're more insect type, although we've had this before, but this has an odd gait. The legs, when standing, because they're very, very tall, shape like the letter M as in Margaret. So if you picture that stance, they're very strange. And when they walk very oddly because the legs are that way. And they are the ones that actually can dissipate and go through glass. And we're wondering if they're the ones that have the ability to take you through the glass with them, your window, things like that.
Right.
Their eyes are they're not slanted and big. They're pointed at the top, from the top of the head, and come down and pointed at the bottom, and the eyelids are sideways. They're double, and they blink. Yes, they blink vertically.
Right. Yeah, that's not one I've heard of. I've heard of a praying mantis type, but even that is, and actually it was a gal on the show described the praying mantis type as being one of the beneficent ones, one of the friendlies, if you will. So this,
this
sounds
new.
This sounds different. Yeah, this sounds different.
And we didn't just take it from one abductee. It's come from several, and we finally put it together. I had a forensic artist put it together, and Kathleen had someone put it together, and it's the same one, and it's new, and we're not sure what it's all about.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. There's also something that many, many abductees have been talking about. We're trying to get it put together to find out exactly what goes on, but it's an object that people are being absorbed into. It's not your vial of liquid that you are asked to breathe, which that's happened, but something they've been asked to step into in order to enter a craft where the opening is too small. That's in the book
kidding.
Also.
Wow.
Yeah. And it kind of absorbs them. That has happened quite often, and it's an odd substance. We ask people to describe it so that we can see, is this the same thing so-and-so told us? Is that something the other person told us, so that we can match it up?
Right. What is this gel that people have talked about? Or
this
I'm
is
trying
very
to...
similar. Very similar.
Okay.
You might want to think of it like, if anybody has ever seen on one of your discovery shows, scientific shows, a glob of frog eggs, a clear gel with the little tiny dots in it, it's very similar to that, what we're being told.
Wow.
That if you held it in your hand in a large mass, huge mass, and matter of fact, even half your body size, only have it floating. They've been covered with it, stood in it.
Wow.
And it dries very fast. It's something that is very difficult to collect, because once it's on you, and then you're done with it, or they're done with it, the entities, it dissipates so fast, so rapidly, and leaves no trace.
Right. Right. And they that this substance would be used to shrink a person, maybe, or?
Or people have said that they feel like their molecules are being split apart.
Changed, altered in some way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's another fear factor. They're afraid.
Yeah. Well, I can understand
that.
They
feel like they're being splintered. They look and see that the craft, the opening into the smaller craft, if they're being taken onto, say, a mothership from a smaller craft, how am I going to fit in that opening? I'm not. What is going on?
Right.
And they're asked to step into this. And they feel like they're being fractured, and they do fit, and they find themselves whole standing in the smaller craft.
Wow.
And what we're also
That's pretty interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
The odd thing is, so far, we don't have very many people that can tell us how do they exit. We've found people entering and through this substance, but how do they get out? They just suddenly find themselves back. But the process of returning, we don't have enough information on.
Holy, that's pretty interesting too. There is, and that would that have something to do with the fact that they're okay? No laughing now. But like Men in Black, when they have that denucleator, whatever it is, where they flash people. You know, they flash them. And they give them a post-hypnotic suggestion. I mean, would that come into play?
We're wondering.
I mean, yeah, you know.
That's to the point where the person is there on the craft. They're telling us what's going on. They're having the tour of the craft, or they're having a procedure done, or they're assisting mm-hmm. with one of these projects, and then they're back. We've taken them under hypnosis right to the very edge of return, and then they're back. We can't get that in-between story.
Wow.
I mean, there's not a hint at it.
Yeah, that's heavy-duty stuff. I don't want to cause trouble by asking this next question, but I got to ask it.
All right.
you know, you hear a lot of the conspiracy theorists talk about our government involvement and the possibility or the probability that the government actually had a pact with certain of the alien species. Just for instance, okay, you can have 1 million, you know, earthlings, you know, if you give us such and such technology. Is there any basis to that, do you think? I mean, just an opinion is all.
Well,
just wondering what
my
thought.
My opinion is, if they had a pact, I really don't know what to think about that. However, again, working with hypnosis and trying to fill in the blanks. So actually, we don't use hypnosis unless a person has a great deal of conscious recall to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and some small blanks they need filled in. Once we have that and do the hypnosis, we have found that some of the recall involves entities and our military showing up at some point.
Right.
So what are they doing there? Why are they there?
Yeah.
And here, where the person has been abducted, and they are taken to a specific spot in the woods, in the forest. Here mm-hmm. is a domed area that looks like a military hutch or aircraft. Where you keep aircraft. And they're guided in there in the middle of the night, only to find that the entity has taken them in. They may go through some cleansing procedure. That's been something we've discovered. And a military man shows up in uniform that is human. So what is that all about and why?
Right. Well, that really is interesting because of so many sightings that have been reported at or near or around military bases.
Yes.
So,
go ahead.
I was going to say that kind of promotes the theory that, you know, that there is military involvement or government involvement of in some way.
We don't know. I have an old gentleman, and there's so much to tell about this. It's hard to fit it all in. But I have an older gentleman that actually was taken. So was his wife, and they used some sort of cattle prodder on their ankles. That the next day they woke up and found burn marks, but he ran while his wife was on a table being medically inspected. He found a door, jumped out of it. He was taken from his home in Iowa. When he jumped out of the craft,
wow.
He landed in the desert. He decided he could jump. That was the only way to save his wife, possibly. When he landed in the desert and started to run, he ran into military men. He was being chased by an alien, and the alien said, "We'll take him back." Our military men said, "No, it's all right. We've got him." And they took him away into some buildings that obviously belonged to the government. He doesn't know if it was mm-hmm. Arizona, New Mexico, wherever it was. And then mm-hmm. the next thing he knew, he was back in his bed, and his wife. And he had broken his ankles jumping out of that craft. He couldn't go to work the next day.
Holy cow.
He had to go to the doctor. And his wife is very, very religious, so she believes something mm-hmm. happened. It was the devil, and she's been resistant. She swears she doesn't remember all of it. He knows what happened.
Right.
And, yeah. So that story, what was that all about?
Yeah. Yeah, it does make you kind of wonder. I mean, the agenda is, you know, and there's so many books out on the market about the alien agenda. It makes one think that for every book that's out there about the agenda, that there's an agenda that fits it. There's multiple, not just one, you know, to answer why are they here.
That's right. Why are they? And
yeah.
Are we given gifts? Some people have things locked up in their mind that they believe they've been shown something about our Earth and what's going to happen, and they can't get it out, not even through hypnosis. Is it timed? Is it going to come out? I'm working with a young man that's had something locked up since age 10, and he's about 30 now. And every single night, the same nightmare. I have a couple of people that way, and I'm working with a young man from the Navy, just got out of the Navy, and he believes he was taken right off the ship here and can't recall the whole story. He doesn't go to sleep till 4 o'clock in the morning. Can describe the ship. I've asked him to draw it now, and we may be working with some hypnosis with him.
Right.
Then they come back once they've been abducted and they have been gifted with some sort of psychic ability.
Now, that's an interesting topic. Yeah.
Can predict the future, or they can read for other people somewhat. They have been given a gift, and sometimes it lasts, sometimes it does not. So, very, very interesting. And it was a huge percent of people that found they could do this.
Wow.
And use all range of gifts. Yes.
Yeah. So, they're spiritual or psychic gifts, in other words, the ability, our super senses. Well, that's pretty interesting that it goes kind of goes hand in hand. Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. It appears to. And the majority of people that answered our questionnaire were women. We don't know why. If it was because more men were resistant to respond, or whether it just happened that more women went onto the site and picked up our questionnaires at meetings and so forth. But the women were very highly sensitive.
Right. Very interesting as to why. Although, you know, men tend to be the tough guys.
They are. They are the tough guys.
Wouldn't want to give up control, you know.
No, they don't. They were willing to give in. We even checked their blood types to see what the general blood type was. And it happened to be type O and type A were the two that were the most abducted. Then the most were type positive that were abducted. Very, very few with negative blood types.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, going that O negative is the universal blood that anybody can take.
Right.
And
they're so
rare, and very rare,
That's very interesting. So many... Many, many people in the percentage had been diagnosed, not a guess, but diagnosed with something called reactivated mononucleosis. It's a disease that keeps coming back, and then developed chronic fatigue syndrome. So that can be one of the characteristics of an abduction experience.
Right. That's pretty heavy duty.
It is.
But it's really... I think it's important for people to know, particularly anyone who may have feared that they've had this type of experience happen to them, where they have threads of memories. And that was one of the main reasons why I wanted to have you on, because there are so many folks that maybe don't want to discuss it. So, you know, and they don't have to call in, although we'd be happy to take anybody's calls. Our phone number here is 347-237-5339. If you would like to comment on or share an experience or perhaps have a question for Denise, we gladly take a call in that regard. But not, I find that not many people are willing to talk about it.
No, they aren't. And people that might be wanting to open up, but here in Orlando, twice a year I hold a private abductee meeting. No media, no nosy people that just want to come in and see what they're all about. It's just myself,
right,
Kathleen Martin, and my assistant, and people come in and share their experiences with themselves. And I support it, just assisting it along, and they find out so many things about each other that it's amazing. So if anyone wants to contact me and find out about that, can go through my Gmail and let me know they would like to attend, and I put them on a mailing list. And I let them know, and they show up if they want to and not if they don't. But it's been amazing through the years. I've done that for the past 10 years.
Yeah, and is this the experiencer group? Is that what that is?
Yes, and what people have told in that room has never left it. It's kept private. They respect each other. Some celebrities, political figures, etc., have gone into that room, told their story, come out completely relieved, and no one has ever spilled the beans. So,
right. That's wonderful.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I mean, because that gives somebody a safe haven in order to inquire without feeling that they're being exploited, I guess is a good way of looking at it. I mean, because there's so many of the people that came forward about their abductions have been exploited in a way. And,
yes.
Yeah, so I think it's nice to know that you are offering that laurel leaf, in other words, you know, that peace.
That's true.
Yeah, that
that's absolutely
there's some place
true
for them to go.
And that's where some of our questions came from, listening to these people and what had happened to them and the various illnesses, some of the things that came about after their series of abductions, and also something that came up that I was curious about. Kathleen was very, very careful on her selection for us and with me. One of the things that I was curious about and asked, and everybody puts their hand up, it seems like, is do you crave excessive amounts of salt following your abductions, and it continues, and does your blood work indicate a high sodium count? Hands go up. They absolutely crave salt, unbelievably, and they don't even taste their food before they start dumping it on.
Holy God, you know, I've seen people do that.
Yeah, oh yeah. They put you go to a restaurant. They put the food in front of you. Isn't that something? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Would you like some soup with that salt?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and salt things that don't even need salt. So
yeah.
So when I explain that to a group, they say, "Oh wow." Okay, so I don't feel so weird because I'm in a group of others that do that, and it's okay for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, and indeed it is. Absolutely. I think that's wonderful that you have extended yourself in this way, Denise. And I know that you, like I said earlier, you have many, many abilities, and this has gone on for you know, years with you, with your UFO investigations, if you will, your abduction investigations, and also your paranormal investigations.
Yes.
I'd like to invite everyone again to please do check out Denise's website. It's denisemstoner.com. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Uh-huh.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
And your book is hopefully going to be out by May, and if people are interested, can they order a pre-sales copy?
Yes, they can. It's on Amazon already, and the release date shows May 20.
Wonderful. So they can go to Amazon.com and maybe put in your name. And,
yes. Are you there?
Hello, Denise. Are you back with me?
Yes, that was great.
I don't know what happened.
I don't
know.
I'm
glad you just... in there. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I heard this boing, and then we got kicked off the air. So
yeah,
I called back as soon as I could, so that's good.
Good, good, yes. We just, all of a sudden, I heard a loud static.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, strange things when aliens are involved, huh?
Yeah, they probably were trying to tune in and kick us off.
I think so.
Yeah, but it's all good. So let's go over everybody so that they know how they can get a hold of your new book that's coming out in about 5 months, right?
Yeah.
And they can pre-order it at Amazon.com. And if they were to... do a search of your name, Denise Stoner, Amazon would pull it up, correct?
Yes, uh-huh, that's right.
Excellent.
The Alien Abduction Files, that's the title.
That's the title, excellent. And it's co-authored with Kathleen Martin.
That's correct.
Super, super D. And your website is denisemstoner.com.
Correct.
And if anyone would like to get a hold of you, perhaps speak to you privately, would you like to repeat your email address for folks?
Yes.
If you would like them to connect with you. Yeah.
Yes. That's dmstoner1@gmail.com.
Excellent. dmstoner1@gmail.com.
Yes.
Super.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm going to be...
Thank you.
Oh, okay, yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and we've got about a minute, and I think that's good. Tell us, where are you going to be?
I am going to be from the 9th of January to the 31st, and I'll have my laptop with me, exploring the skies of Sedona, Arizona.
Wonderful. Oh, yeah.
I am. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's great.
Uh-huh, yeah. So if anybody can contact me, I'll have my laptop and a phone. So I'm expecting to find some really interesting and exciting things out there.
Oh, boy, I'll be looking for the photos. I know you're going to have them. In all honesty, how cool. Yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Denise, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your expertise and giving us a couple of little tips and hints from your book. Looking forward to having you on again, I hope.
Oh, I hope so, too. And thank you, Bea, so much. You're always a pleasure to
talk
to.
Thank you, darling. And sending lots of love out to you and to all of our listeners worldwide. Thank you for joining us. Come on back next week, same time, same place, open mic next week, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Metaphysical Edge. Warmest blessings, everybody. Thank you.